Good morning. If you're visiting with us this morning, once a year, we carve out a weekend for what we call the State of the Church. So this is not by any means a normal weekend for us. Next week will be normal, and we'll start into the book of Romans, and that study will take us basically all the way to Easter. But for this week, it's a celebration of what God is doing, a reminder of what we're about. If you're visiting with us, it's still a very good snapshot of who we are as Lincoln Berean. We'd like to start that this morning by just doing an update on how we did toward our goal with the food bank. So, drum roll, the grand total is and I have to tell you, that total is simply a reflection of the fact that the people of Lincoln Berean were unwilling to stop until the goal was reached. It's a beautiful way to celebrate 50 years. It just reflects kind of the heartbeat of what the people of Lincoln Berean has been like for 50 years. One other thing to note, you see it on the slide there, is in addition to that, which is remarkable, we received a little over $5,000 in cash to the food bank so they can also purchase what they need. So that's just all remarkable. The mission statement of Lincoln Berean is to glorify God by seeking to present every person complete in Christ. The motivation is God's glory, and it's seeking to present every person. We talk about that a lot in the implications of what does that mean? How does it affect what we do, why we do it, and how we do it? The strategy has never really been a mass evangelism type of strategy. It's always been a highly relational strategy that's very simple. That as God changes our lives, we go out into where we work, into where we live, our neighborhoods, where we do our hobbies, our schools, and share the life-changing power of Jesus with those who are looking for answers, those who are in despair, those who are in need of hope. And as God changes their life, they come into the life of the church, they're equipped, they're encouraged, they're built up, and they go back out, and it has a multiplying effect. That process basically makes a loop, and we refer to it as the people loop. If you're new with us, you may wonder, what's with all this loop language? And that's the answer. It's just a reminder that this is our strategy. It's very simple. But this strategy is obviously built on relationships. And I think we all understand that relationships cannot be cultivated in the fast lane. It requires that we slow down and we focus on the things that really matter. It's about capturing those moments that will never happen again. It's about learning to find life in the midst of the ordinary. We do believe that every day matters. That was the heartbeat of our launching 2.5 years ago, A Decade on Purpose. If you'd like to know more about that, it's on the website. But the heartbeat of that was really trying to encourage all of us to think about this decade, frame it in your life, in your season of life, in this 10 years, what are the things that will be important to you? What are the things that will matter to you? What are the things that you want to make sure you don't miss? We don't want you to look back at the end of the decade and wish you'd done it differently. So think about it now and invest yourself in the things that really matter. As a part of that, we as a church had several initiatives that we wanted to have define us in this decade. I'm not going to go back through all of those, but just highlight a couple of them. One of our desires was we believe God was leading us to be a part of planting 50 ethnic churches somewhere in the state of Nebraska. We felt like that was kind of a specific niche that God was calling us to. We've tried very hard not to just crash in and do our own thing, but to be very sensitive to what God is doing. One of the things that God is doing is bringing international students into our family here at Lincoln Berean. Last Sunday night, Patty and I had the privilege of hosting about 20 Chinese international students. Most of them were Chinese. We had a Brazilian, we had a Peruvian, we had a Korean. The rest were Chinese. We had a wonderful time together. It was so obvious that God is in the process of radically changing these students' lives. As a matter of fact, tonight in the baptism service, one of the Chinese students, a young lady, will be baptized, and it's just a wonderful testimony of God's power and God's grace. What I would encourage us to do is make sure that we encourage them and embrace them as a family. When they're out in the hallway, trust me, it's not hard to figure out who they are. Make sure that they know that they're loved, they're wanted. Encourage them, pray for them. If you'd like to get more connected with them, just contact me and I'll help you with that. It's only God ultimately knows what's going to happen as these students are built up in the faith and sent back around the world to be a part of God's church. We've also continued to resource Solomon and the Sudanese church. We also continue to be very encouraged about what God is doing in Iglesia Berea, our Hispanic church, with Adolfo and Hugo. And they will have three of their Hispanic new believers baptized tonight as part of the service. So that's just a great snapshot, again, of what God is doing. But we've also wanted to have involvement beyond just our city. And with our partnership with Mission Nebraska, God has opened up some wonderful doors, making that possible. I'm going to ask Mark to come and tell us a little bit about that. He'll be followed by Jeff to give us a picture of what God is doing globally.
Good morning. Lincoln Berean has had the privilege of teaming up with Mission Nebraska to provide some Latino pastor and church leader training in the state of Nebraska. So far, we've concentrated our efforts in the Grand Island and Lexington area, and about three or four times a year, we're able to go there and provide for them some theological and biblical training. Most of these pastors and church leaders have had no opportunity to have any such training. Several have gone to some Bible college, maybe some seminary education, but by and large, they haven't, and they're just out there on their own. And so we've been able to come alongside and give them some tools and some understanding so that they can go back into their churches and be more effective teachers of God's Word, be more effective leaders. This year, we are able to spend time in the Lexington and Grand Island area in January. In May, we were out there. I thought maybe we'd have the picture here is the group in Grand Island in May that we were able to go have a part of. Just yesterday, we were back in Grand Island. Again, a group of about 25 Latino pastors and church leaders, and we went through for 6 hours we spent going through the Sermon on the Mount and discussing what is it to be a follower of Jesus and how do we actually teach our people to be followers of Jesus. And it's wonderful to watch these pastors and church leaders, how eager they are to study and learn about the Bible in ways maybe they hadn't thought of before. We also planned yesterday that we'll be returning again in November for more training. They just keep wanting us to come back, and they want more and more and more. So I want to thank you for the investment that you make by participating here at Lincoln Berean Church and helping us to be able to go out to ethnic communities like the Latino community and to be able to offer training to them so that the Church of Jesus Christ, not just here in the walls of Lincoln Berean Church, but across the state of Nebraska, can have a great impact in our state.
How do a group of people living in Lincoln have an impact not only on our city, but all around the world? Believe me, it really is not easy. But by God's grace, He continues to do something special through all of us together. Over the years, one of the ways that Lincoln Berean has had a global impact is through the sending of career missionaries, people who go out from this place and move to somewhere else in the world to use their gifts and talents for the building of the kingdom. This past year has been no exception. In fact, when you add up the singles, the couples, the families, and their kids, there are over 100 people who have been serving all around the world as career full-time missionaries representing Lincoln Berean this past year. And they are using their gifting in a number of ways, from medicine to education to sports to working with children to theology to Bible translation to media to evangelism, discipleship, and of course, church planting. And that impact is taking place all over, from Texas to Thailand, from Guinea in Africa to Guam in the South Pacific. God is using us all together to have an amazing impact. In fact, if you total up all of the places where we have career missionaries and you add in our indigenous partnerships and our other areas of influence, right now, Lincoln Berean is involved in some sort of specific missions endeavor in 30 countries around the world. Now, absolutely none of that would be possible without the countless people right back here in Lincoln who are supporting our global efforts. So many people who are giving generously and sacrificially, who pray regularly for our missionaries out on the field, who encourage them and care for them. It's the entire home team together supporting and caring for our global effort that allows our missionaries and our mission efforts to continue all around the world. One of the most exciting things that I'm excited about from this past year is a major step that we took as a church to do an even better job of supporting and caring for our troops who are out there. In March, Chris and Molly Ebers and their kids transitioned from being Lincoln Berean missionaries serving in Japan to serving right here in Lincoln to serve all of our missionaries around the world as our new associate pastor of global outreach. And a big part of Chris's role is going to be working specifically to encourage and refresh and to build into the lives of our missionaries all around the world, as well as to walk alongside any of you who are right here in Lincoln who think that God might have missions somewhere along the journey for you. So we're really thankful that God did that this past year. So we're so thankful for what God has done by bringing all of us together to support these great efforts. Finally, we've been excited this year about the ways that we've been able to be involved together in serving. Whether that's many people who serve right here in Lincoln to help us build our global outreach, or the many people who have begun to get out there and personally serve hands-on. In fact, this past year, just about 80 people went out from Lincoln Berean on short-term mission trips. Many of those went to India as a part of our medical, our agricultural, our educational resource teams. In fact, the leader of our medical group is in India right now as we speak, working with 40 Indian nationals in community health initiatives to help them caring in some of those most poor and needy rural areas. We also were excited this past summer to see the largest ever sending of short-term missionaries out on summer short-term missions from Lincoln Berean, as we had teams head to Spain, to Poland, and also to Sweden. In fact, it's in Sweden that we're excited about the new partnership that God has given us with New Life Church in Stockholm. You see, Sweden is now a place where churches are dying every single week. And in Stockholm, only 2% of the people will be in church on any given weekend. But New Life Church has a vision to see God change that, and they are actively reaching people in amazing ways. Our team this summer literally got to be a part of helping with 3 new church plants all across the city and got to be used by God in amazing ways. We're looking forward to seeing what God will do with that partnership even more in the days to come, and we're planning to tell you more about that during our Global Focus weekends in November. We're also prayerfully considering what God has for another trip back there short-term and other short-term opportunities as well. We plan to announce those in November as well. So look forward to those Global Focus weekends the first 2 weeks in November. But this morning, mostly what I want to do is say thanks to God and to all of you for this great body that joins together even right smack dab in the middle of the United States to have an impact that literally reaches around the globe as we as a church seek to help present every person in every place complete in Christ.
This morning, we would like to share with you an exciting opportunity that we believe God wants us to consider, and also a God-sized challenge that fits with our decade on purpose, that is right in line with what we believe God is calling us to do as His people. Just to sort of set the stage for that, and to so you understand where some of the language we're going to use is coming from, I just want to read a couple of verses to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul is giving some definition to what his life and his ministry was really all about, what he was up to and what God was up to. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2 says, Paul writes to the Corinthians, "You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested or demonstrated that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." Paul's life was all about people and partnering with God in what God was doing. And in this text, we see that what God was doing was writing a new story in people's lives, taking people who were broken, people who were in bondage, people who were filled with guilt and shame, and writing a brand new story for their lives. And right beside God, every step of the way, has always been God's people, partnering with Him, caring for those people, and helping to write those stories, those brand new stories. And that's really what the mission of Lincoln Berean is. That's what we're all about, is about people. That has led us on some interesting journeys down through the years. 9 years ago this month, we launched into a major expansion project here at Lincoln Berean that ultimately resulted in this auditorium we're sitting in this morning and the new youth complex that sits here to my right outside the northeast doors. And I can honestly tell you that none of us who were leading at the time were very excited about all the work and all the money that it was going to take to create those facilities, and we didn't do it because that just sounded really exciting to us. We did it for only one reason, and that is that people matter. And because people matter to God, they matter to us. And at that point in our history, we had a big problem. The problem was that as we went out to live out this strategy that Brian talked about of sharing with our neighbors, our family members, our friends, our coworkers, and we'd begin to introduce them to the Jesus that we worship and know, when they got interested in coming to church with us and learning more and worshiping with us, there was absolutely no place for them to sit. My own family experienced that firsthand. We attended here about 4 years before I came on staff, and we lived 75 miles away. One Easter Sunday, we drove 75 miles to Lincoln Berean and never got into the service. Trust me, that was not a pleasant car ride home with four little kids. But we were believers. We were not going to, you know, walk away from God. But how many people, I wondered on that Sunday, came and didn't have a seat and never got to hear the message that their friends had wanted them to hear? That just simply wasn't acceptable. And so we launched into the "For This Purpose I Live" campaign. We shared the challenge with our people. The people of this church responded generously, and together we pledged around $8 million towards that project. Now, when it was all said and done, it cost about $14.5 million to build these two buildings. And while that sounds like a lot of money, and it is a lot of money, what you need to know that you may not know is that the cost per square foot of these facilities is so incredibly low compared to similar construction that people literally are taken back when they see the value of what we got for that amount of money. One of the things we determined to do when we built these facilities was to make sure they were large enough to accommodate growth for years to come. That had been a problem in the past. We'd built some new facilities, and about the time, a year or so after we were in them, they were already full, and we were determined not to do that again because we didn't want to keep coming back and doing buildings. And so there are large unfinished spaces in both of these buildings, including a balcony that's above us here this morning that's already there and built that only needs seats and carpeting and lights and a little bit of air conditioning and heating, and we can have room for another 1,000 people here in each service. Youth complex is the same thing. So we're excited about having this opportunity to continue to grow and reach out to people. Now, as of today, 5 years after we have gone into these facilities, we have just $5 million, or a little less than $5 million, to pay on these facilities. In other words, in the last 8 years, two-thirds of all the things that we've been doing have been paid for, which is really a tribute to God's generosity and greatness and His working among us. Many of you, I'm sure, have do-it-yourself projects at home, and you have you're building something, or maybe you've been remodeling something, or you've been restoring something, and you know when you have those projects, and you've worked on them for a while, and you just can't seem to get them finished, and they just sort of sit there and linger, and now you really want to get on to other things. You're tired of talking about it. You're tired of thinking about it. You're tired of working on it. You just want to be done with it. You want to be done with it and move on because there's other things that are more important and more interesting and more challenging. I think that's exactly how we feel with this remaining $5 million on our mortgage of debt. We believe that God has all these incredible opportunities available to us locally, regionally, and globally, and yet every time we have a discussion about how we can be involved in those things, we say, yeah, but we have this unfinished debt. So we believe that in this 50th anniversary year, now is the time to tackle that remaining one-third of our debt and get it finished once and for all so we can move on to the bigger things that God has for us in the years to come. It's just time to get it done. And that's what we're asking God to do. One of the motivations for getting that done is the fact that if we continue to pay off the mortgage as we do today, it'll take at least another 6 years until that's done and will cost us another $600,000 in interest payments alone. Money that could be redirected directly to seeing lives impacted and changed here and around the world. And we would love to see all of those resources redirected into people, to writing new stories in people's lives. So we're launching this weekend a campaign to finish it up. We're calling it Unwritten. You'll see it on the front of your loop. And it really conveys two ideas. There's this unwritten part of this chapter of our church's history that just needs to be written. It's time to get it done. And if we can do that, we can begin to walk beside God and partner with Him to write hundreds and thousands of new stories in people's lives. Let me just give you a little bit of the details of how what we think is possible and how we'd like to do this. There are about 2,100 individuals and families who give on an annual basis to Lincoln Berean. If 2,100 families give on average $100 a month to this unwritten campaign, for 24 months, the debt will be gone. In less than 2 years, we'll be completely debt-free. Now, there are many of us who can do more than that. Some may actually want to do a one-time gift of an asset, of some land or something. We also understand there are people who can't give $100 more a month to this campaign. Many of us already are giving to the Purpose Fund, to paying off the debt. And we're going to ask you to let us know what you plan to continue to do. Maybe you want to increase that or change that or continue to give the same thing. We're going to count all of that towards this. But we're going to ask you to pray about being involved over the next 24 months in getting this chapter written, finished, and put behind us. It is this thing, that this cloud that sort of hangs over the things that we believe God wants us to do. So when you come next weekend, you're going to get a commitment card like this. And we're going to just simply ask you to pray and for whatever time you need to pray over the next few weeks as to what God would have you do to be involved in getting this written. And you're going to have a chance to turn that in. There's no name attached to it. We don't ask you to tell us your name. We're not going to follow up with you as an individual. This is between you and God. But I would remind you that it is between you and God. So you listen to God. You ask Him what He wants you to do. Then you make that commitment and then follow through in obedience to what He's called you to do. When we did the first campaign eight and a half years ago, many people saw that as a tremendous new point of growth in their own life when they learned about generosity and giving for the first time. It was the first time for many people that they began to give regularly. And we believe that will happen again for a lot of folks, that it'll be a life-changing, transforming moment of growing in generosity in their own life. So again, we just want you to pray and prepare yourself for this. And going forward, just want to remind you there's just two funds that we have here at church. There's the general fund, and out of that, all of our ministry is funded, including missions now. All of that comes out of the general fund. The commitment we're asking you to make over in the next few weeks is not related to that. So that's the your ongoing giving. But there is this other fund, we've called it Purpose in the past, that was just for debt reduction. And now we're going to just change the name to the Unwritten Fund. Same fund, every penny that's given to that will immediately be applied to the debt. We literally empty it out at the end of every month so that every dime goes and we can pay off as quickly as we can. But we believe in 24 months or less, we can be done with this chapter and these facilities will be paid for. And really, for the first time in 30 years, there won't be a single bit of debt on any of the facilities for Lincoln Berean. That will free us to write new stories in partnership with God here and all around the world. And we're very, very excited about that. So I invite you to seriously consider what God would have you to do, to be a part of finishing this chapter and writing new stories. Tonight, you're going to see in the 54 people who are going to be baptized the motivation to get that done so we can invest more in people's lives. Because every person matters. Our desire is to seek to present every person completing Christ. And that's where we want to invest our time and resources. Thanks.
As Mark was reviewing these past years, my mind goes back to an elder meeting about 10 years ago. The growth of the church had kind of grown stagnant. The giving actually was declining. We were definitely in hunker-down mode. But there was something bubbling up within us. It was the voice of God saying, "It's time to trust me. It's time to take some significant steps of faith." And in that meeting, we wrestled with that decision. It went late into the night. There was struggle. There were tears shed. There was just this wrestling match about coming to grips with this decision. Is it possible that we could be the elder board after all these years that just destroys Lincoln Berean and leaves a massive financial disaster that the generations to come would have to clean up? By the time that evening was over, we had concluded that God was leading us to take some massive steps of faith. Claudine Lehman told me that after the elder board decided to build the C wing, what we now call the chapel, which for them was a huge step of faith, that he went home that night after the meeting. He put his face in his hands and he began to cry. And he kept asking, "What have I done to these people?" When she told me that, I can't tell you how that resonated in my own soul as I wrestled with, have we made a huge mistake? The weekend that we launched this vision to the congregation, you could hear people gasp. It wasn't enough just to build this auditorium and the youth complex, but we believe God was leading us to hive off a group of people and start a church in North Lincoln, one in the inner city, 100 churches in India, all within 3 years. You could feel the tension in the room. In the hallway between services, one person literally said to me, "I think the elders have lost their minds." And I wasn't sure if that was true or not. In the midst of all of that and all the emotions churning, the only time in 18 years that I've been here that this has ever happened is there was a blow up between the elder board and the business team. Some confusion, some misinformation, and some challenges we had to work through. But there was this sense in which this is war. And there was a sense that this is really going to be a challenge. Over the next several weeks, it was amazing the way the people in the body responded. They went home, they prayed about it, they sought God's will, and people came back and said, "Hey, we believe God's in this. We believe we can do this, and we're ready to go." What has happened is nothing short of remarkable. This weekend alone, well over 1,500 people will walk through these doors and have an opportunity to gather to worship that simply would not have had a seat had we not taken those steps of faith. The youth complex, North Point, has a building and is thriving. We've planted well over 100 churches in India, and God is continuing to move. I do believe when we look back and assess the legacy of this generation, our generation, the conclusion will be these were people that trusted God. These were people that put their fears aside, stepped out by faith, trusted God, and God honored that and did remarkable things. And part of our legacy will be that this generation will hand to the next generation arguably the nicest church facility in the state of Nebraska. I'm always intrigued by people that criticize churches for building buildings, but the next day they call and say, "Can we borrow your building?" Buildings are tools for ministry. They're nothing more than that, but they are that. At the end of the day, you do have to have some place to put people in order to carry out ministry. And this is a magnificent facility. This is an amazing tool that God has provided. But I firmly believe that our legacy will be not only will we hand over this magnificent facility to the next generation as a tool for ministry, we will hand it over 100% debt-free. That is remarkable. As Mark said, for the first time in 30 years. We still carry debt from the C wing, the chapel. We carry debt from the D wing. We carry the debt from here. What we believe in 24 months, every debt can be wiped out, which would be our legacy for the next generation, that they could maximize their resources, not to clean up our mess, but for kingdom purposes. At the end of the day, it's good to remind ourselves that it's not about buildings, it's not about strategies, it's not about mission statements, it's about people. and people's lives who have been radically changed by the power of Jesus. There's many of you here this morning, you were in that service that weekend years ago, and you felt the tension. You remember what that was like. And what God has done has been remarkable. But there's many more of you that have become part of our family now over the years. And it's good to remind yourself that the people sitting next to you have sacrificed a lot for you to have that seat. And we would ask that you would prayerfully consider being part of the team, and let's get this thing done. What a wonderful testimony of the generosity of God and God's people that would be to this community. One of the reasons why we have the baptism service on the eve of the State of the Church is because after talking about all these things, we want to remind ourselves it's ultimately about changed lives, and these are the people whose lives have been changed. It is a wonderful service of celebration as we see the power of Jesus to change lives, and you'll see the faces and the names and the lives tonight as we celebrate that together. Before we're dismissed this morning, I want to remind us that God is still in the business of changing lives by telling us just one story of a life that has been changed.
I come from a family of 11 children. My father was a very angry and bitter man, and there was a lot of abuse and emotional and physical abuse in the home. I was sexually abused by a family member when I was 7. And when I was 15, I can remember the first time I really just wanted to die. And I think the hardest part was that I couldn't get away from is the feeling of being alone. How do you be alone with so many people? When I finally got out on my own, my desperation was that somebody had to be out there who would love me. I got married. Within the first year, I got pregnant. I found out that my husband had been cheating on me for all of our marriage. He left us, just abandoned us, and I was destroyed. Alone meant more to me then than any other thing in my life. It was just one more stack of alone in my life. I knew that when I looked at my daughter, my baby daughter, with all my being, I loved her. And when I have that kind of love for this child, I knew there had to be something out there beyond what I had lived and what I had experienced in my life. I wanted to know what that was. I wanted to know how that felt. When we first started coming to Lincoln Berean, her and I both got involved in the Easter drama, and we did it for 3 years. The drama team, the Easter drama, they wrapped their arms around us when we came, and they invited us in, and the church stood up and was there all the time. It had the programs, it had the messages, it had the teaching, it had the people that just wrapped their arms around me and said, I know what you're going through. I had the opportunity to start the divorce care group here. I went through the healing of divorce and sexual abuse and abandonment and physical abuse until it came to the point where the last thing I needed to deal with is the loneliness. The loneliness was the hardest one. I went to my room and I got on my knees and I said, Lord, I am tired of the fear that I have of being alone. I don't want to have that fear anymore. I want to know that I am never going to be alone. I said, I don't know in my heart that you love me. I understand it in my head, but I do not know in my heart that you love me. And he took me through the journey of all the healings that he had provided for me. And he said, see, when you were here, when you were being abused, I was right there with you. And I cried with you. And he said, remember when you went through the sexual abuse? I was right there with you. And through the abandonment and through the destruction was there all the way through those times. He said, I loved you. And when we were finished, he said, is that enough? Will that be enough? My love enough for you? And I said, yes. I believe you. I know now in my heart you love me. From that day forward, I never question, not one time in my heart, God loves me. I want people to know that there's healing and there's life and there's freedom from whatever has happened in their lives that's indescribable. Because of what he's done in my life, because of what God has done, I will never be alone. Ever. I will never be alone.